Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus 13 again. Leviticus 13, and we're going to read from verse 29 through verse 37. And then one other verse later on in the chapter. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 29. And if a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry skull, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look on the plague of the skull, and behold, it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague of the skull 7 days. And in the 7th day, the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the skull be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the skull shall not be shaved, and the priest shall shut him up that hath the skull 7 days more. And in the 7th day, the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the man be not spread, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor in be in the sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the skull spread much in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek the yellow hair, he is unclean. But if the skull be in his sight at a stay, and there is a black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. And then drop down to one other verse, verse 42, and if there be the bald head or bald forehead, a white reddish sore, it is leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appears in the skin of the flesh. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. Just to cover a little bit of what was said this morning and in the introduction, the book of Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14 deals with the subject of leprosy. Now, there are 3 categories of leprosy in these 2 chapters. There is the leprosy of the body, which is the first section, and the exercise for this week, this weekend, for this conference was to take the first leprosy, which is affecting the body, and break it up into 2 groups. So there was the leprosy of the body and the necessity to be reminded that we are not our own. Our bodies have been purchased, and we are not to use these bodies that God has delivered and saved in the practice or the manifestation of sin, to allow the flesh to express itself in the eruptions that leprosy would speak of. And then there is the second part of the first group of leprosy, and that has to do with the matter of leprosy found in the head. And that's the subject that I will be taking up in a couple of minutes. But there are other 2 categories, and the person who's going to follow me is leprosy in the garment. And then in chapter 14, the first two are leprosy as they were moving through the wilderness, as they were on their way to Canaan. But when we get to chapter 14, and there's, again, according to the notes, there will be some comment on this. There was the idea of leprosy in the house. And it says, when you come into the land and you're dwelling in a house, if there is a leprous house. So there's 3 really categories of leprosy in these 3 chapters. Now, from a very practical perspective, they're not really the same thing, right? Because in the one case, it is a disease and a sickness, a contagious disease in the flesh and in the head. In the second one, when it's in the garment, one you might think of, and you might be helpful in someone who's going to speak on this, might bring this out a little further. It has to do perhaps with mildew or mold. You know, you ever stick a shoe under a bed where it's moist and dark, and then you pull it out and it's got this stuff all over it? It might be something like that. And then when it comes to something, the leprosy in the house, if you go down in your basement and it's damp and you don't have a dehumidifier running, you see this black stuff growing up the wall. And those might be what is physically being talked about in these two texts, in these two chapters. So there are real conditions that have an impact upon God's people. And it's so important for us to really appreciate this idea of why does God bring this point out. We touched on it a little bit this morning. These were his people. They were coming out. He says, come out to me and that they might worship me. And who is he? He is a holy God. And so what is necessary is that holiness becomes the people of God because they're in association with the one who is holy. But there's another aspect of it. It is not just individuals. You see, sometimes we live in America, and I personally have been negatively impacted by the teaching in my education. I have been poorly educated in the benefits and the well-being of what it means to be a rugged individualist. And we go around thinking, I am my own man. I am the master of my ship. And rugged individualism is glorified and amplified. And I at one time embraced that idea. But what we have to really remember is that when God called out a people, he called out a collection of people. When God saved you and he saved me, he not only saved us individually, but he has placed us in a community of life. And what is necessary in that community of life is that we live in such a way that we don't negatively impact one another, but that we can positively encourage one another. And so if you look at leprosy from a very pragmatic perspective, when he brings this before us, it's not only because they were worshiping a holy God, but also they were in a community together. So if a person had leprosy, physical leprosy, he had not only the danger of what it would do to himself, but it also had an impact on the community. And God was very concerned about that. And same thing with the garment. What is a garment? We rub shoulders, we come together, we're collective. And there could be impacts. Likewise, when it's in the house, fellowship and communion, where we can sit down. If you look in the New Testament, it says the brethren came together and enjoyed breaking of bread from house to house. How can you have fellowship from house to house if the house is not in a suitable condition to have it? And so this is the backdrop. It's not only that we worship a holy God, but we are worshiping collectively. And so if your life and my life is not in the right state and condition, I can negatively impact the community of faith. And that's something I want us to think about as we launch into this. Now, the first aspect of this leprosy is leprosy of the body. And Brother John White, you know, when he talked to me, he says, you know, we want to separate the two because on the one hand, it's the body. But he says, I want you to take up the subject of leprosy in the head. And so we read the text. And I don't want to, you know, every once in a while, I think it's humorous sometimes the way the Bible writes things. But it says in verse 29, if a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard. I just thought that was kind of interesting the way that worded that, right? You get it? Oh, come on. But the idea is that this possibility can occur to all people. It's not relegated to males or relegated to females. It's anyone. And what is concerning here is that it is an appearance of something. And we have to be very concerned that when something appears, and we had this in the discussion, it was very good. When something appears, we need to analyze and understand what it really is. And so when a scab or a sore would appear in a person's head or in his beard, it was to be of concern, because was it leprous or was it just a cold sore? Was it just acne gone wild? There was a necessity to discern exactly what's going on. And so the priest would be engaged to examine and to look. And he would look, and Brother Sam gave us all of the details of what you do and what you look for. And they're similar when it comes to the idea of having a sore on one's head. You would look and you would examine. And there was telltale signs that what the priest was to identify. If it was this way, clear, leprous. But there was the possibility that it wasn't, and so he would look and it would have some of the characteristics of it. And then the Bible says, the Lord said to Moses, well, the priest put that person in quarantine for 7 days. Because we want to assess and determine what is the true character of what this sore is on his head. Seven days later, the priest would then take another look. And he would look again to see if there were those symptoms. And we had one of those symptoms this morning. Did it spread? Did it go into the skin, beneath the skin? If that were the case, it's leprous. But if it dried up and hair started to grow back through the sore, then the person was going to be told to take a bath and get cleaned up. But if there was a second period, just to be absolutely certain that he was cleansed, he would be shut up yet 7 more days. And if there was no more spreading, it had dried up, the hair started to grow back, he would be pronounced clean. We learn this and we read this and we say to ourselves, okay, what can we learn from this? We have really, I really appreciated this morning when Brother Sam brought to us that verse in Mark, and then we can couple that with the verse in Galatians chapter 6, that the manifestation of this erupting corrosive thing called leprosy can be seen as a type of sin and its manifestation. And believe me, young people, you do not have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a genius to really understand the impact and the effect of sin. I want to just go back really quickly to that verse in Mark chapter 6. Because not only was it the things listed, but I want to just make a couple comments about those things that are listed there in Mark chapter 6, as well as the ones mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, I think it is. Mark 7, sorry. So he says, the things that proceed out of a man are the things that defile the man, for come from within. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And so we can easily see how this applies to the idea of leprosy in the body. But if you look at each of those things, one of the things that you will notice is that there is the offending thing and the ones who are offended. And you will see the disaster that comes as a result of these things. If someone is murdered, not only is the person who was murdered dead and gone, but it leaves a ripple effect on the victim's family. It leaves an indelible problem on the person who commits that crime. You go through each of these things and you see that it's not just in isolation. It leaves a ripple effect that is destructive. Adultery, fornication. It was mentioned about pornography. But I tell you, the statistics are alarming about young people who have pretty much abandoned the standard of the scriptures. and are participating in the activity of fornication. Well, is it just the pleasure of it? The excitement of it? No, there are consequences of it. There are dire consequences, not simply the idea of getting sick and a disease, that's a possibility. But there's a long-term effect of what happens when I allow the flesh and its manifestation in this sin in this way. It has a large, long-term impact. And Brother Dave can explain it better than I can explain it, but it impacts your ability. Should you ever get married, you will have problems because you were active beforehand. These are real things. And you have to understand that when God gives us his word, it's so that we might be able to walk in liberty and in simplicity, but in a right and a holy path. So that's the flesh. So what about the head? What do you think it means when it comes down to that? And we could all sit here, and we might be sitting here thinking, well, I don't think I have a problem with fornication. I'm pretty good at that. You know, I'm a young guy, but I'm good. You know, I don't touch girls. I don't do, you know, stuff, bad stuff with girls. Or we might say, well, I'm sitting here and you know, none of us are, thieves and, you know, cat burglars. You know, we don't do that kind of stuff. And we could sit very comfortably thinking that those very bold and brash and very big sins, well, I don't have to deal with those. But I discovered as I was meditating and thinking what the Lord wanted me to say today is there's an area that's connected with this idea of leprosy in the head. And I want to share that with you. Leprosy, what does the head speak of in your mind and in my mind? It speaks of the place where we gather our thoughts. It speaks of the place where our mind is at work, where our mind is active. It speaks of the place where we collect our thoughts and we think. And I'd like to suggest, by way of application, if I could borrow your phrase, John, that we just focus for a little bit on the mind. And to look at the scriptures on how the mind is impacted by this principle of the flesh that's in us. And how it can rise itself up and maybe not manifest itself in some ugly immoral sin, but manifest itself just as ugly in the eyes of a holy God as we look at this matter of in the head. Before we were saved, we heard the gospel, we find that the enemy of our souls is a master deceiver. And as a master deceiver, the Bible says he blinds the minds of men. It doesn't blind the eyes, it blinds the minds. Blocks the capacity to think, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the gospel of the glory of Christ, should shine through. What is it that this company of people passing through the wilderness, what is it that you and I who have been collectively placed into the body of Christ to live, and why are we here? It's so that the glory of Christ might be manifested in this world where he was rejected. And so why do we have to think about these things? Why do we have to talk about these things? Because those things are the things that take away from his glory. But then we get converted. The grace of God reaches down to us and it saves us and he brings us out from such darkness. He illuminates, he opens our minds, and we can now see the truth of who Christ is. And the Bible says it's a simplistic path through which we walk. The simplicity that is in Christ. And it's as simple as this. He is Lord of all. I bow and submit to him. Is that hard? It's a very simple thing. He is Lord of all, I bow and submit. What he says goes. Peter, in second epistle, Peter chapter 3, he says, you've been given a pure mind. Your pure mind. That your mind now has been changed so that now it is characterized by a purity because why? The cleansing work of God, the cleansing work of Christ has made it so that you are now able to receive and respond to who God is. And he says, I stir you up by way of remembrance, your pure mind. But then the Apostle Paul sends out a warning. And this is where it's going to get real warm and uncomfortable in here. He sends out a warning. He says, there are men who are accompanying and walking among Christians, men of corrupt minds. Men of corrupt minds. And what do? They take, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, they supposing that gain is godliness. And they substitute what is true with what satisfies the self. And Paul sends out a warning two times in Timothy. The first one is that you don't be deceived by these men of corrupt minds. And the second one is he likens these men of corrupt minds to Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses, who are opposed to what God was doing. And so it occurs in the mind. And we set out and we have ideas. So now we're not talking about actions that are against the body or that are done with the body, but we're talking about ideas and thoughts. Ideas and thoughts that when they are shined under the light of who God is, show up as leprous. It's what's going on in the mind. It's a wonderful thing, we touched on it a little bit this morning, is when we have those who we can have relationships with who are looking out and seeing whether or not we have adapted ideas and thoughts that are contrary to the mind of God. Because they produce just as corrupting an effect as the physical sins that were mentioned in that list in Mark chapter 7. So any thought, any idea, ideas have consequences. Things that we think and the way that we think has consequences. And they can have a demonstration of leprosy on the head. I want to cite couple of examples for you of those who I think really illustrate this point really well. You may not think about these people, but in the book of Job, we know the story of Job. Job had his challenge. He lost everything. He lost everything. And in losing everything, his friends came to him, and that was noble, and this is sort of ties in with some of the conversation that we had. His friends came to him, and his friends for the first couple of days did the right thing. They sat down, and they mourned with him, and then they were commiserating with Job, sitting quietly, supporting him. But then they opened their mouths. They opened their mouths and they began to speak. And they began to speak because they had ideas. And they had thoughts about what was going on. And they thought they were important enough to express those thoughts and those ideas. Only to be revealed that those thoughts and ideas, in the context in which they were given them, were leprous thoughts. Turn to Job chapter 42 and see God's assessment of these three friends. Chapter 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have so spoken of me the thing which is right, like you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." Eliphaz and his two friends, out of the pride of their own thinking, expressed ideas and thoughts that were not right. And they did it within the context of a nice religious social setting. It is so necessary for us as people to evaluate and to examine ourselves before we open our mouths. Am I really saying what this book says? Or am I saying what tradition has said? Or am I saying what I have conceived in my own mind? That's leprosy in the head, where my pride and my view of the world is all that matters, and I'm going to impress my view of the world on you, as opposed to allowing the Word of God to be the only arbitrator of what is true and what is right. I cite you another example. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. There was Uzziah, the great king of Israel. He was the great king of Israel who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He was going on in faithfulness to God. He instituted the Passover. He did all of these wonderful things. He dug wells. He did a great deal for the positive health and well-being of the children of Israel. But a thought came into his head. And the thought that came into his head was, well, I've been doing all of these great things for God and for his people. And he decides that he thinks he can go into the temple of God and offer the incense. He was no priest. And the Bible tells us that as he went in, God came down and leprosy burst up on his forehead. You see, when you presume, when I presume upon the holiness of God and think that I can go and do whatever I want to do and do so in the context of the Lord is leading me, I'm on dangerous ground. I have a leper's head. Why? Because my ideas and my thoughts are emanating from that same principle that we've been talking about, the flesh. And it's a religious, it could be a educated. It could look very noble. Thought life. We've been talking about leprosy and its remedy. In the idea of leprosy in the head, I'm making the application is that it has to do with pride and thoughts that emanate from self that take away from the glory of Christ, the glory of God. And it's something that we have to be very aware of. Let's talk about a little bit about remedy. The Bible says concerning us before we were converted, that we were in the vanity of our minds. Our minds were full of vain and empty things in which there was no acknowledgement in the knowledge of God. So the first thing that has to occur in order to help us rein in our thoughts, in 2 Corinthians it tells us that we might bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. But at first we have to remember what an empty reality it is to have a mind that's not connected with the one who is the truth. It's empty. It's a vain pursuit. So we must recognize and remember that to go in that path, to go down that path, is to return to something that was not going to have a positive outcome. The second thing is, so we must recognize the condition. The second thing we must do is we must repent. It was touched on a little bit, but not exactly, but just want to read one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's the importance of the Word of God, and that the second thing that must be done, there must be repentance. It says, in meekness, that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Whenever there is this idea of leprosy in the head, it's always going to be ideas and advancement of interests that are contrary to the truth or are tangential to the truth. They are not the truth itself. And so what is necessary, there must be a repentance, a turning away from what is false back to what is true. So we must recognize, we must repent, and then we must renew. Romans 12:1, we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Ephesians 4 tells us that we might be renewed in the spirit of our minds. It's called having our whole mental framework reestablished and reoriented to one who is to have the preeminence, to Christ. And I close with two other verses. Ephesians chapter 6. God in his grace recognizes what we are as human beings, and he makes provision for us. And the provision is that we might don or take on the helmet of salvation. And I just think of this as such a wonderful thing to think about. If I really understand the whole scope of, or at least not understand, but at least appreciate in some measure the grace of God that brings with it salvation, what happens is I remember what I was, and I remember the grace of God that has reached to me. I put that on and I say, well, if all things are new for those who are in Christ Jesus, I'm going to start asking the questions like this. God, what is your mind on this subject? God, what is your thought on this subject? I get into the Word. And if I don't know how to get in the Word, it was mentioned earlier, and I want to just emphasize it again. Find someone who you can come alongside and say, teach me. Show me how to mind this scripture so that I can keep my mind stayed on the Lord. That I can keep my mind focused. That I can keep my mind from the temptation and the subtlety of the enemy who desires to remove us from the simplicity that is in Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation. Peter puts it this way, remember, add to your faith, virtue, and all of these things in 2 Peter chapter 1, lest you be like those who forget that you were delivered from your old sins. We have to be very cognizant of the fact, very aware of the fact, that when we fell in sin, everything fell. Everything. Our minds, our spirits, our souls, and then the body will manifest exactly the realities of that. And when we've come to faith in Christ, he wants us to be emulators of him. Paul says in Philippians 2, let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be in you. Don't presume that just because you're here or just because you're going along that you're okay, that I'm okay. We ought to be on constant watch and constant vigil, lest we in our own minds be found to be puffed up, to be found thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, and failing to realize that that produces a leprous condition. We are called to have the humility of mind, to be humble, to have no thought of self. The last verse that comes to mind is from we get in Matthew. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples and to that company of believers that were there, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Too many believers, I don't know if there's any in this room, many believers are too reliant on experience. They want to experience or feel something. Well, that's okay. We should feel something. We should feel warmed and exhilarated in our souls when we sing and think about the greatness of the Lord Jesus. There should be an emotional engagement. But so many want to avoid engaging the mind. I think about everything else. I get all the information on the internet from everything else in the world, but how about engaging our minds to appreciate and to love the Lord Jesus with a very deliberate intentionality? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength and mind. May the Lord help us to realize that it starts in the mind. It starts in what we're thinking, how we're thinking. You're thinking now. Oh, well, time, break time. It's overtime already. Or am I thinking, Lord, where's my thought life? Am I so focused on myself that I forget to think about how I'm to be able to serve you and to serve your people? The Israelites were on a journey collectively. You and I are collective. We're not individual. We're not islands. We're not isolated. We are on a journey together. We are going to meet the Savior. And anyone who has this idea of the pride of mind or this idea of leprosy in the head, I can be a hindrance to this community of life that is to be going on and progressing, seeking with one desire and one purpose that Christ might be magnified. That's why we want to take this subject up. That's why we want to talk, because we want to remove every hindrance, be aware of every hindrance that robs us of the purpose to which God has called us. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen.